don't feed me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me that song out of your soul that makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Since we're both just back from the Broken Barrel, Famous Faces and Paces, Famous Faces and Punnies.
You are so shaped right now.
Famous Faces and Punnies, Harry Potter trivia night. Do you want to talk about the new Harry Potter book? It was just released, the
sure.
script book. What'd you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. How to talk about this without spoilers, because
you can do spoilers. I'll just put up spoilers on the thing, because I'm not gonna remember this because I drank like two pitchers of this.
Yeah,
just talk about it.
So worked the midnight release party of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child at Barnes & Noble, and it was really fun. We had a lot of different games and face painting and trivia, and like there's just a ton of fun stuff. And of course the book came out at midnight, and that was a lot of fun because there really hasn't been anything like that since the last Harry Potter book came out. The midnight release party thing kind of died after that. Twilight did a few, but, you know, just, like, fun nostalgia, because I've been a fan of Harry Potter since I was, like, 13, and right before the Goblet of Fire came out.
Was that the first book you read when it first came out?
No, I didn't read it out of order, but, like, I started reading them that summer, like, before that book came out.
But which book
came out? This is, like, 2000, like, 2001.
Which book came out, like, around the time you started reading the books?
It was, like, right before Goblet of Fire came out.
Okay.
Like, I started, I read the first three, and then we were on the waiting list for that to come out, like, the pre-order list.
Because I remember when I started reading them, like, I think Chamber of Secrets was out, and then I started reading the first one around the same time.
Yeah. But, yeah, the book came out, and the book is actually the rehearsal script for the play that is going on in London right now, and it looks really amazing. My biggest thing with that was I would really like to see it performed, or at least hear an audio drama of it, because I feel like that would add a better dimension to it. But it was really good. It starts with Harry and her. It literally picks up at the epilogue of book 7, and then it moves forward with Harry and Ginny and Ron and Hermione's children, and Harry's son Albus becomes friends with Draco's son Scorpius, and it jumps back and forth between stuff that Harry is having to deal with at the Ministry of Magic and stuff that Albus and Scorpius are dealing with at school. And it jumps ahead about 3 years after that. But there is an emerging threat, and they're wondering if the old ways are coming back. It entails one of Brian's least favorite parts of Harry Potter, so I'm wondering if he's going to enjoy it.
What? Time travel?
Time travel.
Time travel.
Spoiler alert! The time turners come back up. And
who uses it?
You
can tell me.
So, okay, the plot point is that Harry is the head of magical law enforcement, and
yeah,
Hermione's
like
the Minister of Magic, folks. Like,
well, she probably earned that job, but Harry didn't earn shit.
Yeah, right. Like, Harry, come on. I mean, you find that out, like, in the first, like, two or three pages. So, but it's thought that all the time turners had been destroyed, but they confiscate one from someone.
Why were they destroyed?
During the battle at the Ministry.
They destroyed them to keep from, like,
Voldemort people from getting them or something?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I'm trying to remember back.
But see, like, I actually like that. Because my problem with the Time Turners has always been, like, why didn't bad people get a hold of
them? Well, that's the thing, is that what really kicks it into gear is Albus Severus overhears a conversation between Harry and Amos Diggory, Cedric Diggory's father. And Amos hears...
My boy!
Which is, like, guilt trip, because for, like, the last 10 years I've been making fun of the actor from that movie. My boy! But Amos confronts Harry at his house, demanding, you know, he knows that there's a Time Turner in existence. Why can't you use the Time Turner to go back and save Cedric? So that's, like, the major plot point. And, of course, it becomes problematic.
Does Harry say, like, well, Time Lords have dictated?
It's all wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey. But, no, it becomes a point of... you know, how do they affect their present by going back in the past with the Time Turners? So it's kind of like one of the points of contention that's come up with a lot of folks is like, well, why did they use the Time Turner to go back, you know, just to save Sirius? Like, why didn't they go back to stop Voldemort from killing parents and stuff and such?
Well, that's the thing, like, I've actually always liked the Doctor Who explanation for that, because they've always said, like, there are just certain points in time where you can't change.
Like, that's basically, like, what... Like, there's a more in-depth explanation. So you might actually like Time Turners this time around. There's some other, like, mind-blowing kind of stuff. But I would really prefer to see it as a show. So maybe hopefully they'll record that. Or at least record, like, an audio drama.
Well,
like, a full cast recording or something.
Well, I know so many plays now, they're starting, like... Broadway plays, they're starting to show them as, they're starting to record productions of them.
Yeah,
like,
I think...
professional recordings of them, so maybe they'll do one. I think, like, I was thinking about this the other day, I think they could actually record this and probably stick it in a theater and tons of people would go see it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they could do that. I think that right now they're probably gonna wait, because, PBS is doing... I think the American Experience, they're talking about Hamilton, and they recorded parts of it. It's not going to be the full production of Hamilton aired, but, like, significant portions of it are going to be aired. So I feel like if they're going to do anything, it's going to wait until after that. But with this story, J.K. Rowling did say that this is the end of Harry's stories.
Which a lot of people are reporting it's the end of Harry Potter books stories. And I'm like, no.
I could see
her
right.
She's just saying it's the end of... Harry's story.
It truly is. Like, Harry's journey is wrapped up in it. So I could really see them writing stuff about the kids, about, like, Albus, Scorpius, and Rose, you know? Like, I could see that happening.
Which is Rose one of Harry's kids?
No, Rose is Hermione and Ron's daughter.
Okay.
Like, they have Rose and Hugo.
Is Scorpius a bad guy in it?
No.
He's not.
A main theme of it is fathers and sons not understanding each other.
So is Scorpius more like his father?
No.
He's not.
He's very different from Draco.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
That they're not repeating just basically
no,
the same
very,
story with the next generation.
No, he's very different from Draco. My only thing was, like, I was not compelled by Ginny or Ron in it. I felt like Ron was, like, an afterthought, and Ginny was just there to, like, pat Harry on the shoulder. I don't know.
Well,
like, I was just
the
not...
Movies, though.
Like, toward the end, Ginny got a little bit better, but, like, I was just like,
well,
ugh.
That's true in the movies, though, that Ginny's character is so, like, small in the movies, and Ron's character... Ron is portrayed so stupid in the movies, and
he
he's not in the book.
He comes off really
like,
stupid.
Like, even some
in
of the
too.
Stuff that goes to, like, Hermione in the movies is actually Ron saying it.
Yeah, like, they took a lot away from Ron in the movies, and I just, he's just, like, comic relief almost in the play, and it was like, oh.
But that's basically what he is in movies.
Yeah.
It's like, what's Rupert Grant doing, like, turns of face and stuff like that in the movies,
yeah.
Which is really good and stuff, but... Harry Potter is the only book adaptation series that I've seen where they leave out major chunks of the story and people just, like, don't care.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing in the last story where with the mirror, like, the broken glass for the mirror.
Like, what the fuck's up with that broken glass?
It's never explained and people
that's
just don't give a shit
a
because they
thing
just
to
love
keep
so much of it. Like, they love so much of it, they don't give a shit that, you know, it's just never explained.
Like, I feel like the most problematic thing that they left information out of was, like, how does Snape know to send his Patronus to the Forest of Dean.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because he's been keeping tabs
it's
on
them. It's never explained in the movie that he even does it. It's never explained in the movie that he even sends it there. You just see the
you just see like A and B. You don't see it go. Yeah. But yeah, because you know in the book, Hermione uses the portrait of Phineas Nigellus Black to spy on Hogwarts, and Snape, being you know the smart fucker that he is, he uses it to spy on them. So, but I'm just like really compelled to reread the books because I just love them so much. They make me so happy when I read them.
Do you know if the play right now that's showing is part one, and then there's
there's two parts in the play. Like,
act one and act two.
No, there's several acts in it. There's like four acts in it, I think. But no, the basically it's just like a play with intermission.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. But it was really good.
What do you think was the best part that stands out for you from the book, like the newest stuff? Like, what was the thing where you were like, oh, God, that's really cool for you?
There's a really big thing at the end of it.
Go ahead, tell me. It's like spoilers here.
Well, apparently Voldemort has a daughter with Bellatrix Lestrange.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I was reading it. I was like, oh, the internet's going to be mad.
Because people hate... One, people hate the fact that any evil person is portrayed as being any human at all. It's like the Hitler factor. Like, Hitler having a wife has always been a contention in people who look at it because they want to look at him as being this otherworldly evil instead of
that. My thought was, like, I feel like Voldemort would not have a child, like, in the sense of attachment, you know, like, because he's also incapable of feeling love because
can have a child without love.
Yeah, like, because he was conceived under the effects of a love.
Yeah.
Potion.
So I don't think I think he would probably want to have a child as just a controller.
I feel like he would breed a child, like a pureblood powerful wizard, to try and take over.
I only have one question. When did she have time to have a child?
Apparently it was before she was locked up in Azkaban.
Hmm.
I think that was the timeline that they were saying. That this person has jumped through, like, there's not just jumping through time, but they create alternate realities too.
A lot of people hating on this.
I'm really thinking a lot of people are gonna be pissed.
Yeah, because a lot of people think like, oh, they own this story and they can decide what happens to it.
Yeah,
you don't fucking own the story by being a fan of it. But I can see a lot of people really going after this with the stuff you've just told
me. I was glad that they specifically did put points to show you that it was a sequel to the books and not the movies. Because that seemed to be a real point of contention for people, especially surrounding the casting of a black actress as Hermione. People were, like, really upset because Emma Watson was Hermione and, like, continuity... Because people are confused for
some
reason.
I know a lot of people are saying, like, they think they're going to adapt these plays into a movie. I hope if they do, they cast the people that are in the plays, because a lot of the actors that are in the plays I've seen in other stuff, like the lady that plays Hermione, I've seen her in other stuff, and she's really fucking good, so I hope they would cast them, if anything, to shut up these fucking racist people. And
yeah, because I just really, the fact that people cling so tenaciously to Hermione having to be white for some reason... It's like, okay, the message actually hits closer, it hits harder for if Hermione is also a racial minority, because you have stronger parallels between the mudblood stuff and
also,
racism in the Muggle world.
It's also really a point of contention if you don't know the history of theater, which when men and women have always played each other's roles, and races always played each other's roles, like Othello is a black character... And it was a long fucking time until a black actor actually ever played Othello in a play. So, like, stage has always went beyond that. You know what I mean? It's film that has always had a problem in contention with, like, playing that.
Yeah. And especially with this instance, people really feel like they have ownership of it. So they felt betrayed for some reason about this, and I'm like,
well,
why?
The Harry Potter fandom above any other fandom, I think, is one where they think, like, the whole, like, this is book 8. Like, fans are book 8. No, you're not. Whichever fucking book she writes is book 8 or whatever. She was
and I mean, she didn't write this. There are two other authors on it. So it was, you know, you can, when you read it, you can tell that it's not. But because also it's a script and not a book, it's a different writing style. Because in the books, you have an omniscient, like, you have an outside point of view, but this is a play, so a lot of it is through dialogue, so it's far more than in the books. And there are some set descriptions and cues and stuff, but it's not nearly as descriptive as in the books.
Well, that's
and
why,
everything. So it's just, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, well, like, well, people, like, talked about my writing. They've said, like, well, I like your writing where there's not much description and the dialogue isn't overly in it. And I'm like, well, that's because I was educated and trained to be a script writer. That's what I first did, which you had very little description because it was scene description and then you had dialogue.
Yeah.
So that's why my stuff tends to be short and, like, not over descriptive.
Yeah, and that's why it moves along very fast when you read it, because it is so much of its dialogue. So you could read it very quickly. And yeah, spoilers again, guys, you know. Don't listen to this if you haven't read it yet.
Well, I'm gonna put a big thing that says spoilers for
everybody. Because, like, seriously, if you send an email bitching about this, I'm just gonna be like, LOL.
Dumbledore dies.
Dumbledore dies. That's still my favorite spoiler thing ever. Is, you know, we had somebody that claimed they had read all the books, and we were casually talking about Dumbledore dying, and they were so shocked. They're like, what?
I guess that actually, when that book came out, a friend of mine's like,
I mean, he had to have died.
I was at work, and a friend of mine, when that book came out, when he died, and they were like, you'll never guess the ending. I was like, well, is Dumbledore dying? They were like, how'd you know that? Did you read it? And I was like, I think that all the books up to that point were foreshadowing him dying.
It's also one of those things, too, that it's supposed to be, like, passing of the torch for the mission.
The teacher dies for the young student.
Yeah, it's kind of
on.
A generic thing.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. And they were, like, so stunned that I guessed that. And I was like, that was a really big surprise. If you read the first couple, like, I think it's the first three chapters of that book, you know he's going to die. Right.
Well, he's already dying. Yeah. So, you know, like, you know there's something wrong with him. It was nice to see the characters come back and, you know.
Is he mentioned in it? Dumbledore?
Dumbledore is mentioned in it. There's quite a few people who are revisited. I think really the only thing that displeased me was I feel like Ginny's, like, they never get Ginny right and stuff. I don't know.
The books is the only thing that ever
she's
gets Ginny right.
Yeah, she's just. At the end of it, she does bring up some things again about being possessed by Voldemort, and, you know, she makes powerful statements, but so much of what she does is just to prop up Harry, and that just bothers me.
Well,
because Ginny's so awesome.
Well, it's, I mean, when you got lead characters, they gotta
but
lead
Hermione,
the story.
Hermione functions on her, very much like the story is like Harry and Hermione, and then Albus and Scorpius.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's those two. Like, those are the two core ones. And Harry and Draco are fleshed out a little more, too, like more of a mature adult.
Do they have an antagonistic relationship?
Yeah, they have some back and forth, but they have a more mature resolution at the end of it. But they're not, like, friends.
No.
They're not friends.
I would have hated if they were having tea every evening.
Yeah, like, they do have some antagonism, because there's rumors about Malfoy's son,
being a bad guy or something.
Just, about his parentage and, you know, people trying to generate new prophecies and things.
Is Luna in it at all?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing to me. I want some Luna! Give me some Luna.
I do love Avada Litch. She's just, like, begging to be in the Fantastic Beasts because she married Newt Scamander's, like, great-great-grandmother.
They should have, like maybe in the third one, because they say it's going to be a trilogy if it does good. They could have the third one, and at the end, she's like an old lady or something.
I would love to see old Luna, and just, like, she has to have some pet Nurgles or something. But,
I know, what would the old Luna be like kind of Tori Amos and somebody else mixed?
Right. I don't know. I just can't even. I just need to see it. But I like Avada Lynch because, she went from being a fan to starring in the movie, so.
So, do you think this book is a a good continuation of the stories then?
I think so. I mean, it picks right up where it left off, and it really felt like part of that world and everything. I definitely would prefer to see it or hear an audio drama of it than reading it, because that's the way it's designed to be.
Well, she's like
consumed.
The thing about J.K. Rowling is she's always been like, I will absolutely not do this until I decide to do this. Like, she was about theme parks, famously. She was like, there's no way Harry Potter will ever be a theme park.
But, I'm fine with that, because...
I am, too, but...
If you've never been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it's just magnificent.
Because maybe she's just waiting until she finds the right people to do it.
And that's great.
Stuff like that.
I feel like that's her prerogative. I really am tired of folks that... They think because somebody has created something that they own it because they've enjoyed it. Like, I own my experience of Harry Potter, and it's meant quite a lot to me for different personal reasons, but it's her world. We're just living.
Well, the whole thing about author, I think it comes from a good place when some authors like John Green and others have said, like, well, I don't own the books, the fans own the books. That comes from a good place, but fans take it and run with it in a bad way because they think, well, I own this. I can do what I want to. I can change it. I can do what I want to.
Yeah.
I can sell it. And it's like, no, you fucking didn't. You didn't work on this. You didn't make
it.
Well,
and also, in the context of J.K. Rowling, too, is that the same folks that every time she releases some little tidbit about her world building, because, I mean, if you think about it, for her to have such a detailed, fleshed-out world in the books, there's probably, like, 10 times as much information in her head, you know?
Yeah. And she's the type of author, from what I've read, that probably writes, like, tons of chapters and stuff that she never uses, and she never plans to use.
I think that she actually originally intended there to be more books, but Scholastic kind of got set in that, like, 7-year thing. But the same folks that, you know, get on her case about, you know, shut up, don't ruin the books for me, you know, because you said Dumbledore was gay and you added, you know, XYZ and Pottermore. The same people that bitch about that stuff are the same ones that, like, if she hasn't said anything for a while, they're like, come on, tell us more, write another book, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, so you can't have it both ways. You can't demand that the creator generate something for your enjoyment, and then when she shares a glimpse into that world, be like, shut up, you know, move on. Which, FYI, she's written 4 adult novels after that.
I think fandoms are the ultimate example of entitlement.
Yeah.
Because,
that's totally what it is.
Because, like, people think, like, this is something that you didn't have anything to do with, really. And you enjoy it, which is great. You enjoyed it and you got a lot of love for it. But then you think you can control it. And it's like, no, you don't get to control it. The person who built it gets to control it and stuff like that. It's not anything to do with you. That's why I've always, and I'll repeat this then, again and again and again. It goes back to the whole Agatha Christie thing when her last story for Hercule Poirot was him dying. I think every author should write a story to end that character the way they wanted to and stuff like that. And I think they should actually end that character in the worst possible way possible.
Well,
you should have that character become evil or become the worst person possible to say, fuck you, this is the way I want to end it.
I remember when I read The Deathly Hallows, though, and I was frankly disappointed at the end of it because I really thought Harry should have died. I really thought he should have. I thought it should have just, you know, like that. But it took me a while and I came to terms with the epilogue because, like, I'm not one for, like, sugary sweet kind of stuff, and that was a little too like that for me. But I came to terms with it, and then this play picked up right where I left off. But I know a lot of people specifically felt like betrayed by her because she ended the book with all is well, and then, well, no, it's not. It's like, oh, as if like they achieved world peace or something.
Well, I thought,
like,
her
off.
I've always said I thought the epilogue was her way of saying, like, this is my ending.
Yeah,
to
like
the
controlling
story.
The message.
Yeah, it was her taking control of it, to where other people would be like, especially in a fan fiction and such, and so many people taking over after authors die, and controlling it. It was her way of saying, like, if this is the last story ever written, I get to put exclamation point on it.
Yeah.
Nobody else gets to.
Yeah, I thought that was a big part of it.
Yeah, and I think her doing these plays and stuff, even though a lot of people are like, oh, she's writing more Harry Potter, it's her choice. If she wants to write more Harry Potter, it's her
choice. Yeah, and it's your choice as the consumer of the product to say, like, you know what, I liked the books, and that's just what I'm going to stick with. Because there are a lot of people that like the books and don't like the movies, and vice versa. And
I was always that way as a huge Star Wars fan. Like, I never used to read the Expanded Universe stuff that much. And I just loved the movies, and that was it. And I remember, like, when Disney's decided to relaunch it, basically, and they just said, these movies and this series is what counts.
Which makes perfect sense, because they purchased that property, and they were trying to launch a new portion of it.
And, like, a lot of people act like, well, all these Expanded Universe books then are not no fun. And it's like, yeah, they can be if you want to.
I feel like people feel like, they're owed something for their time put into, like,
that goes back to the whole thing that I've gotten before with my writing, where people say, like, I'll never get this time back. And I was like, don't act like somebody made you dig a fucking ditch or something like that. I read a story.
I feel like you owe it to yourself if you're creating something to try and create the best thing you can. Like,
which I think,
like, why would you put the effort into it?
Most people do that. I love when people think somebody makes a movie or writes a book.
It's like they set out to make a shitty
movie. Yeah, it's like, no. It's like, most people who create, like, a movie don't think it's going to be the worst movie ever. They generally think, this is going to be
good. I mean, unless you were like Ed Wood or something, right?
Yeah, but Ed Wood loved making movies.
He loved making terrible
movies. Ed Wood wanted to make movies. He didn't think his movies were going to be the worst movies ever. He just wanted to make movies.
So it's just
stuff.
Like, I feel like...
And that's why people love Ed Wood movies still to this day. You can look at, like, Citizen Kane. Which one is more well-known, Citizen Kane or Ed Wood's movies? Edward's
I think
movies
it depends on your circles, but I guess my point is just, like, I feel like if you're creating something, and like, really with any endeavor that you undertake in life, you should probably not half-ass it. Put your whole ass in there. But, I just feel like people really, they think that they're owed shit, and I'm just like, no, you're not.
Though, you tell me about...
You're lucky J.K. Rowling gave you this world.
Yeah. You tell me about the time travel stuff. I'm just waiting for people to go nuts
about that
shit. Like, even though I've had the problems, like, you were talking about me
I thought of you the entire time I was reading it. I knew you were, like... Because that's, like, Brian's least favorite part of Harry Potter is the time travel stuff.
And that has a lot to do with, though, me admiring her as a writer, though. Because it seems like it's... beneath her to do that, because I thought she was so much of a better writer than to do such a simple thing.
I mean, I will say, like, with the time turners, that in this play, there's a few more rules that come into it. And
which, you tell me, that makes me think. That was always my problem with those, because the what not was said bothered me so much. It was like, why didn't, if this seemed like the most powerful weapon you could own, why didn't we have something that said why Voldemort didn't go after it?
Oh, I will tell you that personally, there was one super annoying thing to me. Okay, like, we all know Harry's kind of whiny, right?
Kind of
whiny. He bingoed Professor McGonagall. And if you don't... Like,
bingoed?
Yeah.
What do you mean by bingoed?
She does not have children, and he does. And he used that as an argument against her, like, saying that she didn't care about the fate of his children, even though she's taught... for longer than he's been alive, and
that's
she's
such
been,
a bullshit thing.
Yeah.
Anybody,
oh, I was angry.
Anybody
I was so
with
angry.
Kids do that shit. They're like, well, what do you know? You don't have kids.
Yeah.
Having kids don't mean you know how to raise kids.
And I wanted McGonagall to slap the shit out of him, but you know, because like, but I could totally see Harry saying something like that too.
Somebody needs to make that as a meme, like the whole Batman slapping Robin meme. It's all over everywhere. That
I need McGonagall
slapping the fuck out of Harry, because somebody needed to at some point.
That made me angry. It made me so angry.
But, like, going back before we end this to the trivia tonight, we had a lot of fun at the trivia that was co-sponsored by Broken Barrel Tavern in Palm Bay. Famous Faces and Funnies. It's also the...
Some of those were really hard. This was the second time they did the trivia, and I remember we didn't get to go the first time, but we read the questions, and... like, we knew most of them. Embarrassingly, I forgot what Fleur's sister's name was. Like,
I don't know. I can't
even
say Fleur most of the
but,
time.
But, I don't know. Some of these were really hard. I feel like we did respectably out of 30 questions. I think we scored in, like, the high teens because, like, there was only really two of us playing and one of us drinking.
I was drinking.
And there were like some very big teams that had some hardcore players. Like, I love Harry Potter, but I do not have stuff memorized.
Well, there was three of us. Most of these teams had at least five people.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
But we got some really hard ones. There was one about Cormac McLaggen. And then there was one about the fate of the Bloody Baron that I didn't feel like a lot of people got. And then there was one about Blaze the Beanie.
And there was a couple of, there was two Doctor Who tie-in.
There were two Doctor Who tie-in questions, because there are some actors that were in both franchises and some
related people
and things like that.
But that was really, I had a lot of fun at it.
Yeah, and I was super impressed with how many people came out. They said it was like over 200 people came out to play.
Filled basically the whole bar.
Yeah, it was like the entire place was filled with Harry Potter people. And while we were waiting, I started playing Pokemon Go, and like myself and some random girl there was a Snorlax in the parking lot, and we're like out the door to get a Snorlax.
I'm sitting there drinking, and all of a sudden this girl's about like on top of my shoulders being like, oh my god, did you see that? And I'm like, what the fuck? I've been drinking too much already. Like, and then they run out towards the bar, and I'm like, oh god, I need to drink more.
I don't even know this girl's name, but she got the Snorlax, but unfortunately I did not. He ran away after I threw a couple balls at him. He ran away. And that's the second time that's happened to me, and I feel like my life is meaningless because I've not caught him yet.
Oh my god. I haven't drank enough tonight.
My life is meaningless, dude.
So,
but I really enjoyed the trivia. I thought it was super fun, and I mean, I don't do well in situations like that mostly because I have, like, severe social anxiety issues. Like, I'm terrible in groups and stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like we have to stand up and give the answers in front of class or
something. No, like, I feel like when there's too many bodies around me, like, it makes me...
Y'all did fine.
But I did pretty well. I did pretty well.
You and Tina did great, which is, like...
And for, like, only two of us playing and one of us drinking, like, we got quite a bit of the answers and...
I don't care. I was just drinking.
Yeah, we got a couple, like, I felt like other people didn't seem to get, but there were some teams that got, like, I think they only got, like, one wrong or something, and
yeah, the group,
I was super jealous.
There was a group behind us that had, like, seven or eight people, but two of them was two young girls. It looked like they were probably six at the oldest.
Those were two separate teams, weren't they?
No, they were one team.
Oh, whatever.
And, like,
The little girls got a lot of questions,
yeah,
right?
The little girls were getting a lot of them, and I was like, I'm just glad I'm not playing, really, and I'm just drinking, because I'd feel really bad if these little girls were getting all these questions.
See, I had, there was a certain point in my life where, like, I was very lonely and very depressed by things. And,
a certain,
like,
point?
Shut up. So, like, I was very obsessed with Harry Potter and a few other things, and I could recite off facts about, like...
I can't do that, though.
Harry Potter and Middle Earth.
Like,
and,
I talked about this tonight.
Like,
there's two
I'm not,
book
like,
series
so much anymore.
There's two book series I'll watch and listen to over and over again. And one is Harry Potter, and the other one's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I cannot recite much Harry Potter to you, tell you the truth. And I listen to them all the time, like, and I don't know why. I just don't retain that stuff very well.
My
own writing, even my own writing, I have to keep referencing it, like, going back and checking stuff or keeping really detailed notes. I'm not good at that, but I think it's good because then I can reread it and stuff and enjoy it.
Yeah, like, I don't really, I'm not able to just, like, remember, like, just tons and tons of just reciting facts and stuff about things anymore. But when I was, like, 12, 13, like, right about the time, like, I got into Harry Potter, like, I got obsessed with it. I just didn't have stuff going on, I was able to meet a lot of people through Harry Potter and make, like, new friends and stuff, so it was a really good thing for me.
You made friends.
I did, surprisingly, right? Like, what?
Mar made friends.
I'm, like, the most antisocial person
Harry
ever.
Potter, you win. You made Mar friends.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. You need to go to bed, Doug.
I know, it's so
And
amazing.
I need to end this, so.
So, I'm waiting for, like, them to post, like, the thing, because I need to see how badly I did.
No, so. Whatever. Just go to bed, Mar.
I can't end it on a sad note. Everyone's going to be like, oh my god, this girl's so weird.
What's the sad note?
That I didn't have friends.
That's not sad. I thought that was the mantra of the internet. I didn't have friends.
Edit the end out, Brian.
Oh, whatever. Shut up. Go bed.
you.